People sometimes ask me if I became the Ron Van Dam Show announcer because I love what Ron does and I love his comedy. Well, no. It's because Ron broke me out of a Tijuana prison back in 82 and smuggled me across the border in a suitcase in the trunk of a Yugo. And I still owe him for that. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, this is a thrill.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I can't lie to you. Yes, I am Ron Van Dam. Can you tell? You can only tell by my voice. That's it. Before we can continue with the program, for security reasons, I need the last four digits of your social security number. I'm kidding, I don't need them. You ever get the feeling you call a place that you have an account with them, and they say, well, to verify your existence as a human being, I need the last four digits of your social security number. Do you ever get the feeling if you just said any four digits and you just made it up that they probably say, no, okay, that's you. They don't care. They don't know. They're just saying that. You could say any four digits. Last four digits, 6273. Yeah, hey. I'm still calling places for customer service, and I still get the same response. I get a recording. It's all a recording. Life is a recording. Recording says, due to the coronavirus, we're expecting longer than usual wait times. No, before the coronavirus, I had to wait 3 hours for you to pick up the phone. It's no different. It's no worse. It might be a little better, as a matter of fact. So stop with that stupid recording. Due to the coronavirus, we're expecting your wait time to be extended. No, you're not. You're expecting my wait time be extended because you're too cheap to hire people who actually need jobs. Here's the pitiful part, and I'm not kidding about this. Instead of hiring Americans to answer the phone from their homes, you know, remote working, they actually incorporate these Filipino and Indian telemarketers. They outsource it to other countries, the customer service functions. Well, thank you, America. Thank you, Trump, for doing the opposite of what you said you were going to do. Last four numbers of my Social Security. How about the first three? How about that? Does it make a difference? What are the third and seventh numbers of your Social Security number?
6 and 7.
Oh, Ron. Is this Ron? Yeah, that's ridiculous. All right, welcome to the program. This is the weekend edition. Did you know that? Ooh, yeah, take a look outside. It's like the weekend. It's the long weekend thing. It's the Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing. And for the Northeast, it's getting colder outside. Burr, Raymond Burr. Oh, there you go. That's another example of a generational disconnection. If you don't know who Raymond Burr is or was, have you noticed everybody who's stuck in this generational disconnection that all the when you refer to people, it's they were as opposed to they are? Yeah, that's part of the generational problem. Raymond Burr was an actor. He was the star of a television show called Perry Mason. I'm sorry, Ron. Are you speaking English right now? Oh, okay. All right. I get it. I see where we're going here. They might as well just, like, take people from generations and put them in different countries. Wouldn't that be more convenient? Then no one would have to explain anything to anybody. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Wow, it'd be wonderful not to have a burden to explain things to people. Well, you see, Raymond Burr was an actor.
I'm sorry, Ron, I don't even care.
Oh, my God, we have a generational problem here. Although I have nothing else to do but explain things to you, I suppose. I'm not busy. Oh, yesterday I was having dinner with my familia. That's Spanish for knife and fork. I was having dinner with them. The phone rings, and it's from Washington, D.C. That's what the caller ID said. And I thought, hey, the election is over. Why are you bothering me? By the way, how do you know I'm about to eat? How do you know that? Did Alexa tell you? How do you know I'm about to eat? So the phone rings. Caller ID says Washington, D.C. And I figure I'll pick up the phone because really underneath, I'm a schmuck. You know, let's not mince words. Let's not mince pies. I'm a schmuck. I answer the phone. So I picked it up and the person on the other end of the phone said, this is actually what happened. Said, I work for President-elect Joe Biden, and I thought, oh, God, no more donations. Isn't he going to be president anyway? If you can hold Vice President and Presidential-elect Biden would like to speak to you. Excuse me? I said, yes, can you hold? I said, yeah. And I'm holding for, and then there was a recording. Due to the coronavirus, your hold time might be longer than expected. I can't believe it, even for that. And all of a sudden, I hear on the phone, Mr. Van Damme, it's Joe Biden on the phone calling me, interrupting my dinner. Wasn't going to be a big dinner. I was just going to have spaghetti. Wasn't going to be a big deal. And he says, Mr. Van Damme, you have performed a great service to your country with your podcast and your broadcast radio morning show over the decades, and I just want to thank you for that. And I said, this is a pleasure, Mr. Biden, to speak to you. He said, Ron, the reason that I'm calling was, first of all, I know you're eating dinner because Alexa told me. Also, I wanted to offer you a position in my cabinet. I said, a position in your cabinet? What could be the position? Do you want me in the corner of the bottom drawer or something? And he said, Ron, you are so funny. No, I'd like to offer you a position on the cabinet. You'd have to move to Washington, D.C. with your family. And on my cabinet, you would be the communications expert. I said, I don't even know how to hook up a pair of stereo speakers. I said, Ron, you are so funny. No, I'm talking about being in on our meetings and being briefed on things and being our communications specialist. I said, oh, my God. And he said, I don't need an answer right now, so call me back tomorrow. So today... You know, today I wanted to relax today. Today I have to call back Joe Biden and tell him whether I want to be on the cabinet or not. Well, first of all, I don't like cabinets. I don't care for that. I don't have any cabinets in my house, really. I don't even have a cabinet. I have a China cabinet and inside are little things that I picked up when I went to China. But other than that, no. So I discussed it with my family, first time we've talked in 7 years, and they said, Ron, I can't see you getting up in the morning to do anything but your talk show. Do you know, I thought, you know, you're right, that's a lot of responsibility, and I'm so lazy. So I'm going to call Joe Biden back later this afternoon, and I'm going to explain to him, I'd like to be on your cabinet, on your little cabinet, but I am so freaking lazy. You don't understand. I mean, I love this country, but to get dressed for it, I can't do that. It's a lot for me. Yeah, I mean, true, I did want to be Pope, but you do understand, to be Pope, you don't have to do anything. That's like the laziest job ever. I did put in my application. I've told you that so many times, and I'm pissed that they never got back to me with an email saying, at least saying, we received your application to be Pope. We'll let you know. Nothing, nothing. We'll let you know by, we'll give you a phone call or smoke signals or something. But we'll let you, nothing, nothing, nothing. Application for Pope, big deal. Response, we received your, nothing, nothing, nothing. So I'm a little pissed at them, to be honest with you. But yeah, I wanted to be Pope because it was an easy job. You don't have to pick out your clothes in the morning. If you want to talk to people, you just stand out on your bedroom balcony. I mean, this seems like a piece of cake. You get to wear cool hats. They give you a car. What's the problem? All you're doing is talking about world peace and how to bring people together, and you're a person of God. I mean, I can say that. What's the problem? Thousands upon thousands of people gather every morning just to see you standing on your balcony. That sounds like effortless. I don't have to spend money on Facebook marketing or anything like that. It would be great for the podcast. But I never heard back from the Pope or the Pope's people, the cardinals, I think is what you call them, a group of birds. So I don't, but you know, that would be an easy job. What is there to do? They drive you around. They pick out your clothes. Come on, man. You're reading prayers that were already written by other people. But to be on Biden's cabinet, I don't know. Seems like a lot of pressure. Seems like you actually have to do something. I guess I could just sit there and make believe I'm listening, but I don't think that's right to do. So I have to call Biden back. I'll call him back like at 1 o'clock after lunch. It's not going to interrupt another meal. And I'll tell him, look, Joe and Kamala, I appreciate the offer. And, you know, it's the thought that counts. But I just, it seems like so much freaking work. I have to get dressed every day and drive to the White House and go through that security check and give them the last four digits of my social security number. It's so much. And I'm so busy doing nothing. Why don't you know, Joe, there's a pandemic and I can't do anything? That's the last thing I need, to sit in the White House in the middle of a pandemic. I understand you people get diseases all the time. I don't want them. So no, Joe, thanks for the offer. Thanks anyway. But please listen to the podcast. I'd appreciate that. Tell your friends about it. Well, another opportunity down the tubes for Ron, huh? All right, switching gears, and I don't know what that means. I guess if you're driving in a car and you switch gears, that's the analogy. I never really understood that. It's actually a very ridiculous analogy. Anyway, switching gears. I got butt dialed yesterday. Yes! I was talking to a young lady. She knows who she is. Or maybe she has no idea who she is.
Am I who I think I am?
No, you're not. I had a conversation. End of the conversation. About an hour later, I get a phone call from that same person. And then a little message said, oh, I butt dialed you by mistake. It's funny, I get a butt dial phone call, but a text message that the phone call was a mistake. I mean, we're mixing various tools of communication here. But the message was, I butt dialed you by mistake. And my response was nothing. It was nothing. But I felt like, ooh, what is that actually? What is butt dialing? Do you actually dial people? Do you actually make phone calls to people with your butt? Is it literally that? Did you sit on your phone somehow and dial my number? You have a very agile ass that can actually pick out various buttons on a phone. You've butt dialed me. Wow. I don't know. Sounds sexual, doesn't it? Hey, baby. Hey, baby. By the way, this is my Barry White impression again. 2 days in a row. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. By mistake, I made a terrible mistake as Barry White. I was wearing my communication device in my butt area, and I thought of you. And by mistake, totally by mistake, with love, I butt dialed you. Yeah, I got your number in my butt contacts. I butt dialed you to tell you that I love you. I love you, baby. You got something hanging out of your butt, and that makes me crazy. Come a little bit closer, baby. All right, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous, butt dialing. Give me a break. I don't know if that's an insult. I wanted to give you a phone call. I really didn't want to go to the trouble of putting my fingers on the phone, so I just shoved my phone up my ass and gave you a call. That's what I think of you. Wow, that may not be a good thing. You imagine if someone butt dialed you, you answered the phone and you were talking to their butt.
Hello, Ron?
Who is this? I can't understand you. It's very muffled on your end.
Hello, Ron, can you hear me?
Are you speaking to me out of your ass? It sounds like you're speaking to me out of your ass.
I actually am. I butt dialed you by mistake.
You what? You're eating a steak?
No, I butt dialed you by mistake.
I'm sorry. Can you call me back when your phone isn't shoved up your butt? Are you practicing for a proctology exam? Is that what you're doing? Don't call me from your butt. Call me from your mouth. Same thing in many cases, but I don't want to be called from your butt. Can you believe this is actually a show?
I was listening to this guy. It's a very good podcast, but all he did for 20 minutes was talk about communication skills coming out of your butt. What's wrong with him?
I don't know. I really don't. I have no answer for that. I really don't know. It's what I do. It's just what I do. I have time to be the Pope. I really do. But not to be on Biden's cabinet. I just can't. I mean, I'd love to be there, but I can't do it. Like tomorrow morning, I really want to have French toast. And that takes time. I have to get the pan out of the cabinet. Speaking of cabinets, I have to get the pan out and then heat it up. I put a little bit of oil in it, and then I take some Italian bread. That makes the best French toast. I dip it in an egg mixture. I beat up a couple of eggs, or I just threaten them, and I dip and I put a little bit of cinnamon in there and maybe a little bit of nutmeg, you know. And then I throw it in the pan, and I brown it on both sides, you know. And then I put it on a plate, and I pour syrup over it. And oh man, it is wonderful! What a carbolicious, ridiculous breakfast item that is. But I'm looking forward to doing it. And if I were on the cabinet, Joe, I wouldn't have time to make the French toast. So I really have to turn the position down accordingly. Sorry, man. Sorry, Joe. This is your Dear Joe letter. I can't do it. Although, I'm wishing you the best. I am got my fingers crossed that you can take care of things. There's a lot of stuff to take care of, Joe. You don't need me on your cabinet screwing things up, you know, asking stupid questions. Like raising my hand in the middle of a cabinet meeting. Excuse me, when is this going to be over? Are we breaking for lunch today? Are we eating in? Hello? The only thing they give you at meetings, have you ever been to a meeting do you have a job? Did you ever have a meeting, you know, they have little boardrooms where people are literally bored off their ass. They're butt dialing people as they're bored. They're sitting at board meetings and one person's talking and nobody else talks. Everybody just sits there and stares at their water bottle. That's what they give you at a board meeting. They give you a little bottle of water, not even a big one, just a tiny little like complimentary bottle of spring water. And that's it, man. That's all you got. So you sit there and you stare at it while some person drones on about some company matter that you really don't give a crap about. It has nothing to do with you. But you're stuck in that room. You're stuck there. You can't leave. You can't pee. You can't think. You can't do anything. You're stuck. You're confined. It's like being in jail, in prison. Don't drop the soap. Oh, my God. You're in trouble. Oh, God. Cabinet meeting? No, I can't. I can't do it, man. I can't do it. Good concept, but not for the old bagger here. Not for the double bagger. All right. Let's speak to our guest for today who is just hanging out listening to this and saying to themselves, I don't know if I want to be on this show now. Let's say hello to our guest. Dr. Bruce German joins us. He's a food chemist and director of UC Davis Food for Health Institute. Thanks for being with us today. We're talking about milk. You know, there's been a controversy about this, so I'd like to get this straight. When I was a child, I was told milk is like extremely healthy. I had it with every meal, and I believe my mother even contributed naturally to that when I was born. So I see all this soy milk and stuff going on, and I'm wondering, like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's a good question, and our diet is being examined every day by research scientists around the world, and part of the problem is that research on health is primarily focused on disease,
mm-hmm.
how to diagnose it, who has it, and develop therapeutic cures, drugs, and procedures to reverse it. But what we're really interested in ultimately is preventing disease,
mm-hmm.
making you, when you're healthy, healthier. And really, that's what milk evolved to do. The genius of lactation is that mothers literally dissolve themselves
mm-hmm.
to make a complete and comprehensive diet for their mammalian infants.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been trying to understand exactly how does milk do that? And that's the genius of milk, is it's a preventative diet.
Hmm. I'm not the son of a cow, although there are incredible nutrients in milk, how does that work out?
Yeah, actually, all mammals are relatively similar, and we all share most of the essential nutrients.
And I understand that if I happen to be lactose intolerant, I can still have milk.
Yes, there are various products
yes.
that the lactose has been predigested.
Okay. Now, I'm not being negative. I'm trying to show people how milk is starting to get a bad rap, and it's not the case. The amounts of sugar in milk, how does that work out? Is that a good thing or bad thing? What kind of sugar are we finding in milk?
Milk contains lactose,
yep.
Milk sugar, and that's the major form. It breaks down into glucose and galactose,
uh-huh.
both of which are relatively supportive sugars mm-hmm. To our health.
Okay.
So overall, milk is even teaching us what forms of sugar are more and less supportive of our health. And they fuel our activities well.
Okay.
We need to be fueled.
Interesting. So milk is still, I mean, for children and for adults, milk is still something you should have every, I know I have it with my cereal. I can't have anything but with my cereal. It's got to be real milk.
Yeah. Well, remember, we learned that, of course, milk is guiding the development of the baby. Babies are growing a lot mm-hmm. every day, and they have to get everything that they need in order to do that well.
Yeah.
But what we've also learned is all of us, we're rebuilding ourselves a little bit every day. And that's why we need to have everything in us mm-hmm. that we need to do that.
Okay.
And that's where milk becomes so successful. Right. It's got all the things we need in the right amounts in a highly digestible and absorbable form.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
that's a great idea.
Yeah. I know some people are scared of milk because of fat. And I do a lot of interviews, thousands upon thousands. And what I've learned is that you need fat in your diet to some extent. And I know there's non-fat milk. There's low-fat milk, which is okay. But, I mean, we shouldn't be scared of milk because there is some fat in it. Is that correct?
Absolutely true. Human breast milk has fat in it.
Mm-hmm.
It even has saturated fat and cholesterol. So it's clear that in the right amounts, all of these components of the diet are positive.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have too much of anything in your diet,
right?
Or too little. And that's that balance that's so important.
Okay. What about organic milk and all these grass-fed things? I mean, that's just a matter of choice, still milk?
Yeah, the composition of milk remains relatively constant.
Yeah.
Again, that's the genius of the mother-infant care.
Yes.
The mother takes all of the various things in her diet, breaks them down, and converts that into a constant milk supply.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness for mothers.
Well, in many regards, yes. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking right now. So I guess that's true. They're one of the greatest inventions of the world when I was a child, and I'm serious, was chocolate milk. I mean, my childhood was chocolate milk. And to this day, it's like cocaine to me. It's just it's a fantastic invention. And, man, I just had to throw that in. I mean, I love that stuff, but you know, that's not natural. We have to put chocolate in it, but chocolate can be good for you too. Okay.
Turns out that, studies have shown that chocolate milk can help athletes after exercise, to recover.
Wow.
So
interesting stuff. What do you see? What is recommended now, in this day and age for children, milk consumption, and for adults and seniors, milk consumption? Are there amounts involved like you would find on a over-the-counter vitamin bottle or something?
But the scientific consensus that has been established actually over several years is that 3 servings of dairy a day for growing children and adults provide all the things that they need in the diet that are particularly difficult to get under normal diets, things like calcium and potassium.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 servings a day work out to be the appropriate amounts.
Okay. You know, I have also learned that, you know, popping vitamins is not the best way to get your nutrients. It should be through foods and beverages that have the nutrients naturally. That's the way to go, as opposed to chemically powdered induced pill popping.
Well, that's right for a couple of reasons. One is is many of the nutrients, the minerals and vitamins, are actually relatively difficult for us to absorb. And remember, milk, mothers are literally dissolving themselves to make milk, and provide everything that their infant needs, including the essential nutrients, vitamins, and minerals. So the genius of milk is making those nutrients extremely available and absorbable. Calcium is a good example. You need a lot of calcium every day. And calcium is an unusually insoluble mineral. And the genius of milk is it incorporates calcium into the proteins. So both are highly digestible and absorbable. No other food has thought of that.
It's interesting because what you do as a child, I have also learned, actually follows you through your whole life. And calcium is for the bones. And when you get older in life, which we all will, that bone structure and bone strength and bone health is a very important thing.
Yeah, actually, the early teens for boys and especially girls is when they develop their bone strength. They have to play and put exercise on their bones, but they have to deliver all their nutrients, especially calcium. So it's critically important in that window of age that you get all the calcium you need in the most absorbable form. That's why we see even epidemiologically a benefit to populations who consume milk and dairy products in their early teens.
Well, fortunately, there are so many different varieties and possibilities of real milk that now we have choices. When I was a child, it was the white milk in a bottle. There was no other choice. That and cream, that was it. So now at least we have all of that. Where do I go for more information, Doctor?
RealCaliforniaMilk.com provides wonderful information about milk and its benefits and the products.
Great. Easy enough to remember. RealCaliforniaMilk.com. Doctor, thanks so much for your time today, and I raise my glass to you. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful. I hope you're having a nice weekend or going to have a nice weekend or whatever. I'll be back on Monday with a brand new show. Ooh, can't wait. Will you join me then? Say yes. Just say yes anyway. To make me feel good, just say yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Until then, I wish you peace. Okay? It's over. It's done. We're done. We're done. That's it. That's all. Go do what you were going to do. We're done. It's over. Goodbye.